Hello, it's Sunday, September 20, 2009, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. Even though criminals and Zionist Jews are still dominating most nations, and even though the majority of people are still ignoring the corruption and spending their lives titillating themselves like stupid animals, the Jewish Crime Network is finally showing signs of real deterioration. I think some of the Jews have been preparing for their destruction since at least 2004, and so I thought I should explain what I think they're doing. This might help you avoid becoming a victim of their newest and upcoming tricks. The city I live in, Santa Barbara, has a free newspaper called The Independent, and its cover story this week is about the September 11th attack. Unlike the usual idiotic attempts to defend the official story and ridicule the conspiracy theories, this article gives a more fair treatment of the conspiracy theories. However, the article doesn't mention me or Christopher Bolin, and nobody from the newspaper contacted me. Instead, they promote such people as David Griffin, Richard Gage, and Stephen Jones. Many years ago, I pointed out that I was being ignored by the 9/11 investigators, the Holocaust investigators, and so on, and that the so-called truth groups were promoting Zionist agents, such as Dylan Avery and David Irving. The criminal Jews responded that I was jealous that I wasn't the center of attention, and that I was accusing everybody of being a Zionist agent because I was paranoid and envious. Quite a few years have passed since then, and I'm sure that those of you who have been following my website since those days can see that I wasn't jealous or paranoid. However, if you've just recently discovered my website, you may not understand what I'm talking about, so let me first review a few concepts. To begin with, we're not fighting the Jewish Crime Network with bullets or swords, although I'm sure some physical fights occur occasionally. Most of us are fighting the Jews over the information that people are exposed to. The Jews have an enormous crime network that spans many nations, and they're getting control of television companies, magazines, newspapers, and radio stations. They're also infiltrating schools so that they can promote their propaganda on both teachers and students. You can visualize the situation as thousands of Jews with giant hoses, and they're scattered around the world and spraying the people with a sweet-tasting poison. The Jews are using the media to titillate the people, and they secretly mix in propaganda that gives the people a distorted view of Jews, 9/11, the World Wars, Zionism, Israel, the Apollo moon landing, and the Holocaust. The only way to counteract this diabolical activity is with the truth. But the truth will seem harsh and cruel by comparison to the entertainment that the Jews provide. Furthermore, before you can spread the truth, you have to know what it is. Who among us has the truth? Who among us can we trust? Also, it's important to understand that a person can provide you with the truth, but he's not necessarily honest. I wrote about this concept years ago. It's possible to deceive you with the truth if you are provided with only a portion of the truth. Also, a person can use truthful statements as bait to lure you over to him and away from people like me. You can visualize that situation as a person putting a worm on a fishing hook, or a Pied Piper who was luring people into following him into a trap. Just because somebody provides you with some truth doesn't mean that you can trust him. You can't even trust a person who offers to help you financially, or who wants to repair your broken automobile. The successful con artists are those who first gain your trust, and that requires they spend some of their time and effort, and possibly some of their money. It's sad to think that we have to be this suspicious of one another, but until we have enough people to completely crush these crime networks, this is what we have to do. I've been pointing out for years that almost everybody in this so-called truth movement, in the peace groups, the veterans groups, and other organizations, are actually con artists working for the Jewish Crime Network. They try to gain your trust and then deceive you. Many of them are saying almost exactly what I say, which makes it difficult for people to see a difference between us. For example, Jeff Gates, who has the website criminalstate.com, was interviewed by Daryl Smith on September 3, 2009. Here's a brief excerpt in which he's explaining that before a person can be deceived, a con artist must first gain his trust.
Before you can deceive, you must first create a sense of trust.
Yeah.
So if you're going to wage war by way of deception, which is the operating credo of the Israeli Mossad, the intelligence and black ops operation that operates literally worldwide, you've got to create a sense of friendship and trust.
Jeff Gates appears to be just like me. He appears to be an honest man who is trying to help you understand the tricks of the Mossad. But I think he's just another Zionist agent who is exposing this trick only to fool you into trusting him. You can determine that he's working for the criminal Jews in several ways, such as by looking at his website and noticing that instead of promoting someone like me, he promotes the American Free Press, Antiwar.com, and Daryl Smith. Also, notice who promotes Jeff Gates. For example, Jeff Rentz has posted some of his articles. But Jeff Rentz won't give me any publicity. Years ago, when I pointed out that the truth seekers were ignoring me, many people fell for the trick that I was jealous. But I'm pointing out a very important clue that identifies the crime network. If you need more evidence that Jeff Gates is working for the criminal Jews, all you have to do is read his articles. Sometimes the titles alone identify them as Zionist propaganda. For example, his article for September 12, 2009 has the title, "What Role Did U.S.-Israeli Relationship Play in 9/11?" One of the patterns that I've noticed with Zionist criminals is that when they're forced to mention crimes by Israel or the Mossad, they tend to put some other word in front, such as CIA or US or Masonic, and they put a hyphen between the words, as if these two groups of people are married. This is why Gates wrote US-Israeli. Another popular expression with the criminals is CIA-Mossad. These are subliminal tricks to fool us into thinking that the Jews are merely working with us or subservient to us. The situation is confusing, but don't let that bother you. I think the article about 9/11 in our local newspaper, even though it's a free newspaper, is one more piece of evidence that the criminals are losing control of us. There are now millions of people around the world who are aware of the Jewish crime network, and every day a few more people learn about their tricks and become free of their propaganda. You can visualize the situation as a group of sheep who are discovering that they can jump over the fence and escape. Every day, a few more sheep run away from the Jews. I think we finally have the opportunity to destroy their network. This is not the time to be disillusioned, confused, or frightened. It's especially important that you don't behave like the people who start a project but never finish it. I think this crime network is finally in serious trouble, and now we need more people to make sure that we can destroy it and bring some real improvements to the world, rather than merely let one group of criminals replace another. And I think the Jews have been preparing for their destruction, and so we have to prepare for their preparations. Which is why I thought I should explain some of these concepts. One issue I wanted to bring to your attention is that many of the people who have learned about 9/11 during the past few years have gotten their information directly or indirectly from the Jewish propaganda sources, such as the Scholars for 9/11 Truth or the We Are Change organizations. And right now, during September 2009, Charlie Sheen is getting worldwide publicity for requesting a meeting with President Obama to discuss the 9/11 attack. Even though the news reports ridicule Sheen, it is giving tremendous publicity to him and Alex Jones. Please notice that even bad publicity is good publicity. As I pointed out years ago, people like David Duke and David Irving are condemned by the media as racists or Holocaust deniers, but Jews never give me any bad publicity as a Holocaust denier. I don't complain about this because I'm jealous of David Irving. Rather, I'm pointing out a very important trick. Namely, the Jews give both good and bad publicity only to people they have control over. Anyway, I wanted to point out that a lot of people are picking up propaganda from Charlie Sheen and Alex Jones. In case you don't listen to Alex Jones, a few days ago, on September 14, 2009, he told his audience that the international bankers are in control of our governments. Here's an excerpt of what those terrible bankers are planning to do to us.
And if you say you don't want the Gardasil shot, CPS is going to take your kids. Doesn't matter if they're in the law. And they're going to take you to a jail cell, and they're going to bring in somebody, and they're going to knock your teeth out because they like it. Because that pot-belly jail guard has a 75 IQ, but he knows he likes to hear you cry naked in the cell. And he's going to beat you and break your ribs. He likes it. He's going to do it. They're going to rape your daughter. And then when they're done, they're going to finally, once they have their system in, they're going to starve whole communities and march people into dirt pits and shoot you in the back of the head. It's going to happen. They mean business. We know what this is. We've seen it over 100 times in the 20th century alone. It is now happening. The same international eugenics banks that funded Pol Pot, Mao, Stalin, and Hitler are now in control. Do you understand?
Some people might dismiss his remarks as paranoia or fear-mongering, but as I've mentioned in other files, I think the reason Alex Jones can lie so consistently is that he's actually telling us the truth, but he does a few word substitutions. Specifically, he's describing the crime network that he works for, namely the Zionist Jews. However, he refers to them as bankers or globalists or the New World Order, and one of his newest expressions is the eugenicist bankers. So, all we have to do is replace New World Order with the word Jews. And then everything Alex Jones says will make sense. I think Jones is telling us the truth when he says the Jews have conducted slaughters more than 100 times during the 20th century, and that they hire stupid and violent maniacs as policemen and prison guards. Take a look at the slaughters, rapes, and tortures that occurred in Armenia during the First World War, and all of the slaughters, rapes, and tortures that occurred in the communist nations. And then look at the evidence that Jews were funding and manipulating Hitler and the Nazi Party and Pol Pot and all of the others that Alex Jones said. And look at the slaughters and rapes of East Germans at the end of World War II. And look at the evidence that the Jews instigated the Korean and Vietnam Wars and that they arranged for American pilots to be captured and sent to Russian prisons. I would also bet that the Jews were responsible for tricking the Americans into bombing Dresden and other cities simply because the Jews wanted to slaughter more Germans. And don't forget to watch the Desperate Wives videos at hugequestions.com. Kay Griggs explains the mystery of how the Jews are getting control of our military. And her explanation also applies to police departments, churches, schools, and other government offices. Specifically, the Jews put people with mental disorders into leadership positions so that the Jews can control the organizations through blackmail, intimidation, and bribery. This explains why so many people in leadership positions are pedophiles, alcoholics, homosexuals, and weirdos. For example, Major General Albert Stubblebein, a short Neanderthal-type creature, who was commanding general of the Army Intelligence and Security Command, retired in 1984. But years ago, he was promoting paranormal nonsense, such as remote viewing. Today, the Jews promote him as a 9/11 investigator. But this man is just another mentally ill freak that the Jews use to control our military and promote propaganda. Stubblebein shouldn't be in any leadership position, especially not a government agency that's supposed to protect us. He belongs in a mental hospital, or a jail, or if it's okay to say it, in a giant grave with millions of other criminals who are destroying this world. Also, note that ever since Christopher Bolin disappeared in June 2007, he's been criticizing me, but on July 6, 2009, he added two pages to his site to promote Stubblebine as a 9/11 investigator. Don't assume I'm jealous. This is more evidence that Bolin has been kidnapped by Zionist Jews, and that the Jews are using Bolin to promote their agents. I think Alex Jones is a member of the same Jewish crime network that kidnapped Bolin. Unfortunately, if a person is just now learning about 9/11 from Charlie Sheen or Alex Jones or the Architects for 9/11 Truth, he won't realize that he's learning about 9/11 from the criminals who are responsible for it. As a result, he may spread their propaganda and promote them as honest investigators. By the way, did you notice that Bolin is giving three radio interviews this month? On September 1st, he talked with Kevin Barrett, and 2 weeks later, he called Pastor Eli James, and this upcoming Tuesday, September 22nd, he'll be a guest on the radio show of R.J. Hender of the Republic Broadcasting Network. To refresh your memory, after the Bolin family vanished in June 2007, he completely cut off contact with me and other people that he used to communicate with on a regular basis. And during the past 2.5 years, he's allowed only a few radio interviews. But now, in September 2009, he's doing three interviews in 3 weeks. I think one reason he's doing these interviews is because his kidnappers are desperately trying to convince us that he's free, and I think the other reason is that they're using him as bait to attract people over to the Zionist websites and away from me. It should be obvious that Pastor Eli James works for the Zionist Jews. For example, he was one of 5 speakers at a celebration of Hitler's birthday in April 2009. Who among us would want to waste our time writing a speech to celebrate Hitler's birthday? In the 1970s, I looked briefly into Hitler's personal life, and I came to the conclusion that Hitler was suffering from some serious physical and mental disorders. At the time, I didn't have any idea that Zionist Jews were supporting and manipulating Hitler and the Nazis. Instead, I assumed that Hitler rose to the top in government simply because he appealed to the ordinary voter. Take a look at who the voters are attracted to. They're not attracted to candidates who are talented, honest, responsible, or intelligent. Instead, most voters behave just like stupid animals or spoiled children. Most voters are attracted to candidates who offer them entertainment and praise. They're attracted to the candidate who behaves in a submissive manner and offers to serve them. The voters want a servant who follows orders. They want to be treated like kings and queens. They're not looking for a leader that they can work with and learn from, and they won't tolerate criticism. As a result, crime networks can easily get their puppets installed simply by telling their candidates to behave in a submissive manner and tell the voters whatever they want to hear. Hopefully, after we get rid of this Jewish crime network, there will be enough respectable people to discuss and develop a better method of selecting leaders. Getting back to Pastor James and his worship of Hitler, I don't think he really admires Hitler. As I wrote in a document years ago, the Zionist Jews promote Hitler, Nazis, and white supremacists in order to control the people who are angry at Jews and to create the impression that the world is full of dangerous anti-Semites. And I know Christopher Bolin doesn't admire Hitler either. Before he disappeared mysteriously, he had written an article in which he made a mildly critical remark about Hitler, and he was surprised and annoyed to discover that the editors of the American Free Press newspaper had deleted his remark. He told me that he knew Zionist agents had infiltrated the newspaper, and he was aware that they were pushing for the worship of Hitler, but when the editors deleted his remark about Hitler, he realized that the Zionist agents are at higher levels in the management than he had previously assumed. Bolin called into that pastor's radio show a few minutes late, so the pastor spent a few minutes criticizing the website whatdoesitmean.com. Here's the beginning of that radio show.
Today is Sunday, September 13th. We made it through 9/11/2009 without any nukes being dropped in any cities. All of the warnings to the contrary. I have been ignoring those because they come from unreliable sources. One of those unreliable sources being Source of Fall. All right. And we have tremendous disinformation constantly. It's almost like the people who are putting out this information want us all to be on edge and, anticipating and moving out of the cities before the time is right. Okay. And so, folks, we got a lot of disinformation coming out there. In fact, I did an expose, a brief expose on Sorcha Fowl a few weeks ago. And Sorcha Fowl is not a Russian lady. Sorcha Fowl is a CIA agent working out of, I think it's Florida, using the name and pretending to be a Russian, white Aryan Russian person. It's not the case. Sorcha Fowl is a disinformation agent, so don't pay any attention. One of the reasons I know is that information is unreliable is one of the stories put out by Sorcha Fowl a couple of years ago stated that there was an attempt to blow up the Chicago subway underneath the Sears Tower. And, so I checked into it since I live in Chicago, and there was absolutely nothing. There wasn't any kind of police call dispatched. There wasn't anything in the local news. Absolutely nothing of the kind happened in the city of Chicago when Sorcha Fowl claimed it did. So it's a blatant made-up story, a totally made-up story. And so we can't rely on that kind of information.
The reason I wanted you to hear that excerpt is to make sure that you understand some of the tricks that the pastor is using. As I wrote years ago, a con artist can deceive us with the truth. You can't assume that somebody who tells the truth is honest. If you had the resources to investigate Sorcha Fowl, you might discover that she is indeed on the payroll of the CIA and that she's putting out disinformation. You might conclude that the pastor is telling us the truth about her, and therefore he's an honest man who's helping to expose and identify liars. However, you can't trust a person just because he has exposed somebody else's lies, and you can't trust a person simply because he's told you something that's truthful. Whenever somebody tells you the truth, you have to consider a couple possibilities. First of all, he may be giving you truthful information that has no real value. For example, almost everybody who looks at Sorcha Fowl's website realizes that it's a propaganda site. Therefore, the pastor isn't telling us anything that we wouldn't have figured out on our own in about 2 seconds. Second, the person may be giving us only a portion of the truth in order to deceive us. For example, consider the possibility that Sorcha Fowl is a Zionist Jew and that her true loyalty is to Zionism, not America. In such a case, the pastor is telling us the truth when he says she works for the CIA, but by omitting the fact that she's a Zionist Jew, he's deceiving us into thinking that she's an American who's working for America. If she's really a criminal Jew, then she should be described as a criminal Jew who has infiltrated the CIA. If a person learns about the 9/11 attack from the Architects for 9/11 Truth or Charlie Sheen or Henry Mackow, and if he knows nothing about the tricks that the Jews are using, he might decide to look into the accusations that the CIA and the U.S. military were involved in the attack, and he'll discover that there's lots of evidence to support these theories. And so he'll come to the conclusion that these 9/11 investigators are telling the truth. So he'll be likely to trust those people, and he might even donate money to them. The Jews are using very simple tricks, such as telling us partial truths. Once you understand their tricks, it's easy to avoid becoming a victim. The Jews are telling us a partial truth when they tell us Americans conducted the 9/11 attack, and that the bankers are funding a lot of crimes. But they're deceiving us by omitting the fact that criminal Jews have infiltrated our society, and it's those criminal Jews who are truly responsible for these crimes. And the bankers are only a portion of them. Many of the non-Jewish Americans who assisted with 9/11 are victims of the Jews, even though they assisted with the crime. Perhaps the best example of this concept is World War II. Millions of people killed each other and destroyed each other's homes, but we could describe all of those people as victims of the Jews who had infiltrated our nations and instigated the war. Our military is especially vulnerable to these Jewish criminals because people in the military are forced to follow orders. Therefore, once criminal Jews get into top leadership positions, they can use the lower-level military personnel as their personal slaves. Pastor James doesn't wonder whether Sorcha Fall is a Jew, and I think it's because he doesn't want to encourage us to wonder who among us is a Jew. However, now that we know that an international network of criminal Jews are responsible for hundreds of major crimes and wars and forest fires, we must become aware of who is a Jew. Furthermore, we must wonder who among us might be working for these criminal Jews. Quentin Tarantino, for example, may not be Jewish, but I think he's working with them. I also wonder if one of the reasons that Pastor James criticized Sorcha Fall is because he's trying to discourage us from looking at her website. Her website is full of propaganda, but I think it shows that the Jewish crime network is failing. During the past few months, there have been a lot of mysterious events around the world, and I've noticed that Sorcha Fall has absurd explanations for just about every mysterious event. For example, on the morning of September 11, 2009, President Obama was at the Pentagon to speak about the 9/11 attacks. At 10 a.m., CNN reported that the Coast Guard was firing on a suspicious boat near the Pentagon. CNN was worried that America was under attack by terrorists. 6 minutes later, the Reuters news agency sent out an urgent news bulletin about a possible terrorist attack. And then Fox News reported the incident. But after 25 minutes or so, CNN realized that the Coast Guard was simply conducting a training exercise. We're supposed to believe that the CNN reporters are so incompetent or irresponsible that they didn't notice that the Coast Guard was conducting an exercise. And we're supposed to believe that the Coast Guard has such idiotic management that they didn't think it was strange to schedule an exercise about terrorism on the anniversary of the September 11th attack in a location that was extremely close to President Obama. If that was the only time people behaved in a strange manner, I might dismiss it as due to incompetence or stupidity or carelessness. However, there have been a lot of these strange events during the past few years. Furthermore, a lot of these strange events occurred during training exercises. Therefore, we ought to consider that some, or perhaps all, are failed false flag operations. Did you know that exercises were occurring at the same moment in time that the September 11th attack of 2001 occurred, and at the same time the bombings of the London subway on July 7th, 2005 occurred? This is not a coincidence. Training exercises can be used to disguise false flag operations. The exercises create momentary confusion as the people involved try to figure out what is part of the exercise and what isn't. And it gives the criminal Jews access to security cameras, weapons, equipment, and areas that they would not normally have access to without arousing suspicion. As of today, I think the most sensible explanation for the weird behavior of CNN and the Coast Guard on September 11, 2009, is that some criminal Jews had scheduled that training exercise for that morning to disguise a false flag operation in which President Obama would be assassinated or a terrorist would explode a bomb near the Pentagon. The CNN reporters were provided with a prepared script about the terrorist attack, and they were told to wait for the exercise to start and then begin following the script. When the exercise began, the CNN reporters started to follow their script and report about a potential terrorist attack in progress. But something went wrong with the attack, and after 25 minutes, CNN had to stop what they were doing. They then had no way to explain their strange behavior, except to claim incompetence. And the Coast Guard had no way to explain why they were conducting the exercise, except to claim that officials just weren't paying attention to anything. So, now that you've heard my theory on what happened that morning, take a look at what Saoirse Fall says. In the first sentence of her article, we find, quote, "Rogue U.S. intelligence forces have failed in attempting to assassinate President Obama," end quote. She promotes the theory that a false flag operation failed, except she doesn't accuse the Jews of being behind the assassination attempt. And she doesn't mention that CNN is under the control of criminal Jews, or that the reporters were given scripts so that they knew what to say about the assassination. Now consider that 3 days later, on September 14, 2009, there was another strange event in New York City. Early that morning, the police and FBI raided some homes in New York City of men from Afghanistan. The police said the men had ties to Al-Qaeda, but nobody was arrested because the police didn't find any bomb materials or anything else that was illegal or suspicious. Obama was giving a speech that day in New York City, but government officials said there was no connection between these terrorists and President Obama's visit. So the official explanation for what happened that morning is that the police and FBI raided these homes simply because they're paranoid of men from Afghanistan. I think a more sensible explanation for what happened is that the Jews were trying to set these Afghan men up as terrorists who assassinate Obama or set off a bomb near Obama, but something went wrong. The police and FBI then had no way to explain their strange behavior, so they made themselves appear incompetent and paranoid. Now look at Saoirse Fall's explanation. Her article describes it as another failed attempt to assassinate Obama, but this time she claims that Obama was going to be assassinated by what she refers to as a, quote, CIA-Mossad terror cell, end quote. Her article goes on to claim that some of the mysterious deaths and suicides of people involved in the financial and banking industry, such as Christopher Kelly, Danny Pang, and James McDonald, were actually murders by the same group of people who prevented the assassination of Obama. Saoirse Fall described Danny Pang as the, quote, Israeli-Taiwanese money man, end quote. Saoirse Fall produces the same type of propaganda as Jeff Gates, Alex Jones, and most other truth seekers. Specifically, as I mentioned earlier, when the Zionist agents have to mention the Mossad or the Israelis, they also mention the CIA or some other group in an attempt to fool us into thinking that the Israelis are merely working with or subservient to that other group. And when they write articles, they often put a hyphen between these two words. Anyway, 2 days later, on September 15th, the FBI in Denver raided the home of another man in Afghanistan. The FBI accused him of being a terrorist who was working with those Afghan terrorists in New York City. But after searching his home, they didn't find anything, so he wasn't arrested either. The FBI traveled to the Home Depot stores throughout Denver in order to find receipts that prove that somebody bought chemicals that could be used for explosives, but as of today they haven't found any evidence. By the way, for those of you who don't have a Home Depot store in your city, they are the best source for terrorist supplies. The bomb materials are in aisle number 4 next to the bags of cement. The situation with these Afghans is so absurd that one of the news articles for September 16 at the NPR website has the title, quote, "New York Denver terror probe remains murky to those inside and out, end quote. Describing the situation as murky is deceptive. It would be more accurate to describe it as suspicious. We're supposed to believe that the FBI and police departments are full of paranoid idiots. A more sensible explanation is that the FBI and the Denver police are under the control of criminal Jews, and they failed at setting up that Afghan man as a terrorist. Yesterday, on September 19, the FBI arrested that Afghan man in Denver, and they arrested his father, and today they arrested one of the Afghan men in New York City. However, none of them were arrested for terrorism. Instead, they were arrested for making false statements. The FBI is struggling to make these Afghan men appear as dangerous terrorists. But if you help us expose the FBI and other Jewish criminals, we can interfere with whatever false flag operation they're trying to stage. Now consider two events that occurred in the previous month, namely August 2009. Do you remember the reports about two nuclear-powered Russian attack submarines patrolling the east coast of America? Some reports emphasized that this was the first time in about a decade that the Russians had sent submarines this close to America. And do you remember that also during August of 2009 there were news reports about a Russian cargo ship that vanished? The ship was discovered a couple of weeks after it disappeared, and eight men were arrested for hijacking it. The ship was supposedly carrying lumber, but a few news reports claim that the ship was secretly carrying weapons. And a news report from Israel claims that the Russian ship was hijacked by the Russian government. Why do news reports disagree on what this ship was carrying and who hijacked it? Now take a look at how Sorsha Fall explains it. Her explanation was posted on August 14, which was immediately after the cargo ship was discovered. The title of her article is, quote, "Russia Alarmed After Nuclear Warheads Go Missing in Atlantic," end quote. Her article claims that the cargo ship was secretly carrying three cruise missiles with nuclear bombs that had been secretly recovered from a Russian submarine that had sunk about 9 years earlier and had been sitting on the bottom of the ocean all this time. She claims that the cruise missiles were going to be transported to America for disassembly. She also claims that the Russian submarines that were seen patrolling the east coast of America were actually looking for that missing cargo ship and its secret cargo of nuclear bombs and cruise missiles. And her article has the peculiar remark that the missing Russian cargo ship may have something to do with an upcoming event on or about August 22nd, which was going to put North America into what she describes as, quote, complete chaos, end quote. 4 days later, on August 18, she posted a brief article to update the situation with the cargo ship, and the title of the article was, quote, "Russian and U.S. Forces Retake Missing Nukes from Rogue CIA Terrorists," end quote. So, in this article, she blames the CIA for hijacking the ship. The news reports about that missing cargo ship don't make any sense. We're supposed to believe that eight men decided to hijack the ship, but they had no idea why they were hijacking it. They weren't interested in stealing the lumber, and they never bothered demanding a ransom. And there's no explanation for why the ship vanished for 2 weeks. What was going on during those 2 weeks? And why were some journalists spreading rumors that the ship was secretly carrying weapons? Who was the source of that information? This strange incident would make sense if the Jews were planning to put a nuclear bomb on that ship and then send it to an American port and detonate the bomb. This would explain why the men who hijacked the ship never asked for a ransom or made any attempt to steal the cargo. This would also explain why Jews were spreading rumors that the ship was secretly carrying weapons. And it would explain why Sorsha Fall was predicting complete chaos in North America. I suspect that if the operation had been successful, the Jews and the media would have investigated the attack and discovered that the bomb had come from Russia, and that some Russian government officials were working with Iranian terrorists. I suppose the Jews were trying to get America involved in a war with both Iran and Russia. When the false flag operation failed, the Jews had no way to explain why the hijackers had been in control of the ship, and they had no way to explain why some people were spreading rumors that there were weapons on the ship. They had to ignore the incident and leave everybody in a state of confusion. I also find it peculiar that on September 18, Bolin posted an article in which he claims that the Israelis told Obama to abandon the missile shield for East Europe, and Bolin made an extremely vague remark that implies this decision had something to do with the hijacking of that Russian ship. Bolin wrote that the decision to abandon the missile shield was, quote, evidently made in Israel and offered as quid pro quo by the Israeli leaders during their recent visit to Russia in the wake of the mysterious hijacking of the Arctic Sea, end quote. Why would Bolin make such a confusing remark without explaining it? I think it's because his kidnappers are telling him what to write, and they didn't want to provide details about that hijacking. I could give other examples of what appear to be failed false flag operations, but I'm sure you get the point by now, which is that the Jews are failing. I suppose Search a Fall's website is trying to do damage control by blaming everything on Americans. And I wonder if Pastor James criticized her website because he doesn't want us to look at it and figure out that the Jews are failing. The Jews don't want us to become excited or confident. They want us to be frightened of the incredibly powerful and talented Jews. And they want us to be afraid that Israel will go on a suicidal rampage if any nation dare to threaten their existence. The Jews want us to be frightened of them, not figure out that we can easily beat them because they're just a network of criminals, plagiarists, drug addicts, parasites, pedophiles, alcoholics, and freaks. I think the success that the Jews have achieved in the past has been due to manipulation, deception, blackmail, bribery, and murder, not intelligence or talent. They're a crime network, not a group of intelligent, respectable people. They require secrecy and deception in order to be successful. But now that the internet exists, they no longer have control over the information that we're exposed to. They can't manipulate us as easily. We can now look on the internet to learn about historical events, and we can pass information around to one another. We can look closely at the Zionist Jews, and we can see what they really are, which is a bunch of freaks. In a previous audio file, I mentioned that for the past few years, I've been getting a phone call almost every day from a homeless Russian Jew named Fred. Sometimes he tries to trick me into making critical remarks about other people or races, and sometimes he promotes propaganda, such as anti-gravity machines and chemtrails. I think the reason Fred is homeless is because he's not very successful as a con artist. However, because he's lousy, it's easier to learn from him because it's easy to see what he's trying to do. It's much more difficult to see the tricks of the successful con artists because if we could see their tricks, they wouldn't be so successful. Therefore, the incompetent con artists are a better learning tool. So here's an excerpt in which Fred becomes so frustrated in his attempts to get me to criticize a man that he practically tells me what he wants me to say and why he wants me to say it. To understand this conversation, you have to know that Fred travels to synagogues every day to ask for money, and there's always other people asking for money at the same time. In this excerpt, Fred is complaining that there's another man who frequently appears at the same synagogues and at the same time as Fred, and this other man has been saying things to the rabbis about Fred, which is causing Fred to receive less money. Fred is desperately trying to get me to criticize this man. It's important to understand this trick because I've seen other Jews use this trick. If the Jew is good at this trick, you will assume that you're having an ordinary conversation, but the Jew will be secretly leading the conversation in such a way that he tricks you into saying something critical about another person or race or group of people. If you fall for the trick, the Jew can use your critical remark in a variety of ways, such as starting a fight or interfering with your personal or business relationships. Also, notice that at the end of this excerpt, Fred says that people will accuse other people of doing what they themselves do in order to fool us into believing that they're not that way at all. For example, politicians and police officers who are homosexuals or pedophiles will often condemn other people for homosexuality or pedophilia in order to fool us into thinking that they are not homosexuals or pedophiles. So, here is that excerpt with Fred. I may seem to be on drugs or partly asleep, but it's because I do other things while he's talking to me, so I'm usually not paying much attention to him. I also speeded it up so it has a more amusing quality, like a South Park cartoon.
So what does it tell you about what type of person this is? What would you say he actually is? How would you describe something like that?
I don't know. It's not too nice, is it?
Troublemaker? Negative? I mean, what would you describe this individual?
Well, I guess he's just trying. He wants the money the rabbi's going to give for himself.
Right. He's a selfish person, isn't he?
Well, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going to describe something like this, what would be the one expression you would use, or several expressions, to describe what actually he is? So that way, if I have to tell somebody else, I can sum it up in a couple of words instead of trying to explain the whole thing then.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's what he wanted to say. He's just trying to. He wants the money for himself. He's just.
Well, that would donate that he's a selfish individual. He's very selfish. Self-centered, selfish, arrogant.
Well, I guess you could say that, but... I guess he just... It's like the panhandler you were saying. Just wants all the money for himself.
Well, yeah, I've met this type before, but boy, this guy is very... What he's doing is he's calling everybody else trash and everybody else, scum, when in reality, he is the one that's actually a trash and a scum.
Oh, I see.
Isn't it true that when somebody calls somebody else something, that's actually what they are?
Oh, I suppose in some cases that's the way it is.
Right, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to take any attention off of them.
The point I want to make is that if you learn their tricks, we can beat these criminals. And I think the Jews are definitely losing now, and they have no way of saving themselves. I think there are now millions of people around the world who are aware of their crime network, and many of those millions are actively trying to expose and destroy their network. Even though we're a small percentage of the world's population, I think there are enough of us to prevent most of the assassinations and wars. Unfortunately, there isn't yet enough of us to actually destroy their crime network. As a result, the Jews are still in control of our nations. Most of our relatives and neighbors are still behaving like stupid animals who don't care about anything except entertainment. Hopefully, as information about the Jews continues to spread, our group will grow in size and eventually reach the point at which we can destroy this network. And hopefully, there will be enough respectable people among us to bring about some real improvements to the world, rather than merely replace the Jewish criminals with some other group of criminals. Even though we're slowly defeating this crime network, I think some of the Jews have been preparing for their destruction since at least 2004. Therefore, you should be watching for their preparations so that you don't become a victim of their newest tricks. To understand why I say this, I'll review some of the changes that I've seen since January 2002, when I first started to expose the 9/11 attack. During 2002, most people resisted the idea that we were lied to about the 9/11 attack, so I put almost all my effort into showing the evidence that the World Trade Center had been demolished with explosives and that there was no passenger airplane at the Pentagon. I didn't even bother trying to explain who was responsible for the attack. That's why the entire first hour of my video is devoted simply to show that there's no plane at the Pentagon. Unfortunately, a lot of people, including my own relatives, wouldn't look at my video, or they became upset by it and pretended that they had never seen it. The selfish and irresponsible behavior of the majority of people gave the Jews the confidence that they could continue controlling the population, even though people like me were exposing their crime. The Jews had so much confidence that the majority of people were hopeless animals, that the Zionist agents were selling my book and video, interviewing me on their radio shows, and inviting me to speak at their meetings. Alex Jones sold hundreds of copies of my books and videos, and he interviewed me a couple of times on his radio show. In 2003, a few of the smarter Jews started to worry that they might be losing control of the population. That was when the American Free Press suddenly stopped selling my book. They didn't want to give me any more publicity. But the majority of Jews continued to have confidence, and I was starting to lose hope for the human race. In 2004, a few more Jews began showing signs that they were worried. At the beginning of 2004, David Ray Griffin finished his book, The New Pearl Harbor, and the Jews gave it tremendous publicity. Later that year, Dave Von Kleist, of the radio show The Power Hour, finished his video, In Plain Sight. My interpretation of his video is that it was a stupid version of my video that the Jews were going to promote in an attempt to distract people from my video. By saturating the nation with that video, people would get some information about 9/11, but not as much as they'd get from my video, and it would attract people to Dave Von Kleist rather than me. My interpretation of David Ray Griffin's book is that it was just another piece of Jewish propaganda that was an attempt to attract people over to David Ray Griffin and away from me. However, because of a twist of fate, Griffin promoted me in my book. That twist of fate is that he lives less than 2 miles from me. Because he lives so close to me, the day before he was supposed to send his files to the printer, he decided to look at my book. So he drove over to my house, picked up a copy, and then went home to look at my book. He was shocked to discover all the photos and information about how the towers had been blown up with explosives. He stayed up most of the night to edit his book and include some of my information. The end result is that his book contained some useful information, and it gave me some publicity. Griffin didn't realize that the Jews were using him to produce propaganda to draw people away from me. However, he's aware of it now. He stopped talking to me several years ago. By 2005, there were so many people who realized that the towers had been blown up with explosives that I moved on to the issue of who was responsible for the attack. And I was discussing other issues such as Zionism, the Apollo moon landing, and the Holocaust. During 2005, a lot of Jews were showing concern that they were in serious trouble. This is when Dylan Avery came out with his video, Loose Change, and lots of 9/11 truth groups began to form. When I told people that Dylan Avery's video was analogous to a worm on a fishing hook, and that the Jews were using it to draw people away from me and over to him, the Jews would respond that I'm jealous of Dylan Avery. And when I complained that the 9/11 truth groups were ignoring me, the Jews would respond that I'm upset that I wasn't the center of attention. When I warned people that almost everybody in the truth groups, the Holocaust revisionist groups, the peace groups, and so on, were actually Zionist agents, the Jews responded that I'm paranoid and envious. Even when I warned Christopher Bolin that he should not trust Professor Stephen Jones of the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and that he cannot trust a lot of the other people he trusted, he would respond that I'm getting carried away. So look at Christopher Bolin today. If you don't agree with me that he's been kidnapped, don't merely dismiss what I say as nonsense. Instead, contact him by email and see if you can find evidence that he's free and independent. Christopher Bolin suffered from the problem that we all suffer from. Specifically, his natural tendency was to assume that most Americans were the greatest people in the world, and therefore, he was proud of the other Americans rather than worried about them. He didn't like it when I reminded him that the Statue of Liberty described the immigrants as wretched refuse. I warned him that America is full of people with serious mental disorders, but he didn't want to hear that. Humans and animals are extremely arrogant, and we are biased to assume that the members of our group are superior to the members of other groups. Americans tend to think of Americans as better than people of other nations. And Catholics tend to think of Catholics as better than people of other religions. It's difficult for us to look critically at ourselves or to the people that we consider part of our group. And it's especially difficult for us to look critically at our own family members and relatives. If you had to walk through an area of Afghanistan that was full of landmines that were buried, would you want to know that the area was full of explosives? Or would you prefer that somebody lie to you and tell you that you're walking through a flower garden? Everybody should look at their nation as a dangerous area full of human explosives. We don't live in flower gardens. We live in a world in which we are surrounded by people with mental disorders, some of which are very serious. There are people all around us who will get involved with crimes, sometimes for small amounts of money. If you assume that the people in your nation are the greatest people in the world, you won't be watching out for the lunatics. Professor Stephen Jones is an example. Bolin considered him to be trustworthy, but in my opinion, he was what most people would describe as shy, quiet, or introverted. Most people seem to regard shyness as harmless, and some women seem to think of it as adorable. However, long ago I came to the conclusion that shyness is a protective mechanism for young children, but as we grow up, we should lose that quality. I'm very cautious of adults who show childlike qualities. For one reason, they're easily intimidated by criminals. And for another reason, I wonder if they have a stronger attraction to children, which could make them more likely to become pedophiles, and therefore, easily blackmailed. So you can see an important difference between me and Christopher Bolin. Bolin trusted Professor Jones, but I consider Jones to be a childlike adult who was easily intimidated and manipulated, and I wondered if he was a blackmailed pedophile also. Anyway, getting back to the changes that I've seen occur during the past few years, by 2005 there were so many people who realized that the towers had been blown up with explosives that a lot of us had moved on to the issue of who was responsible for the attack, as well as other issues such as the Holocaust and the Apollo moon landing. Unfortunately, the majority of people were still behaving like stupid animals, and many people who realized that we have been lied to about 9/11 were falling victim to the propaganda that I was jealous of Dylan Avery. And people were disregarding my warnings that just about everybody in the truth movement was a criminal. I would tell people that we're capable of defeating the Jews, but I didn't have much hope in 2005. Most people seemed just too stupid or too easily deceived for us to defeat the Jewish criminals. I was expecting the Jews to get a nuclear war started or some economic chaos. I even bought some extra food to deal with the possible food shortages. And I didn't worry much about people cheating me out of my money or not paying their bills, so I wasted some of my money during that time period. During 2006, the Jews were showing a lot more concern that they were losing, and so I had started becoming more hopeful that we could beat them. By 2007, the situation was looking even better, but then Christopher Bolin disappeared. Even during 2007, people were disregarding my warnings that the truth movement was just a bunch of criminals. It seemed like only a few hundred people took what I said seriously. The majority seemed hopelessly arrogant and stupid. However, the disappearance of Christopher Bolin seemed to have been one of the greatest things that the Jews have done for us. It was analogous to a slap in the face to the people who had been insulting me as paranoid or jealous. Many people began taking my warnings seriously. They became much more suspicious of other people. In September 2007, when Daryl Smith tried to intimidate me into destroying Bolin's reputation, I had the sense to record the conversation, and I think that was another very important event that helped people realize that they can't trust anybody in this truth movement. We have to assume that everybody is a criminal. The more suspicious you are, the better, because it makes it more difficult for people to fool you. The Jews had a lot of success years ago because we were very trusting. As people become more suspicious, the Jews have more trouble fooling us. during 2008, and especially 2009, the Jews began showing extreme concern that they're losing the battle. The Jews realized that there are now tens of millions of people who know about their crimes and their wolf in sheep's clothing trick, and they can see that anger is building, and not just towards Jews, but towards all types of crime and corruption. And so now it's important that you notice that the Jews are modifying some of their tricks to deal with the changes in people's attitudes. Specifically, a lot of Jews are taking advantage of the anger towards Jews by pretending to be ordinary people who have recently discovered that Jews are responsible for 9/11, the world wars, and other crimes. This is just a variation of the wolf in sheep's clothing trick. Instead of pretending to be investigators of 9/11, some of them are now pretending to be ordinary citizens who have become disgusted with Jews. If you take a serious look at the people who claim to be disgusted with Jews, you should be able to see that they don't really want to destroy the Jewish crime network. Let me give you some examples. Somebody recently told me about an audio file created by Adam Austin. He refers to it as the Good Old Boy broadcast. During his one-hour monologue, he swears so often that I wonder if he did it on purpose, and he criticizes Jews to an incredible extent. He appears to be an ordinary working-class man who has discovered what the Jews have been doing, and now he's very angry. But I think he's just another wolf in sheep's clothing, just another Pied Piper who's trying to attract your attention and draw you over to him and away from me. The Jews have thousands of Pied Pipers. Each of them has a different personality and a different message. It's like a smorgasbord. The Jews don't care which of their Pied Pipers you follow, as long as you follow one of them. Adam Austin is a Pied Piper for people who like to swear and make angry remarks about Jews. I'm sure the Jews will respond that I'm jealous of Adam Austin and other people who are getting attention, but don't fall for this trick a second time. Don't think I'm paranoid or jealous when I complain that these angry citizens are actually Jews. Adam Austin, David Duke, and all of these other white nationalists, anti-Semites, and Nazis are not condemning Jews because they're disgusted with Jews. They're simply trying to draw your attention away from me and over to them. It's the same trick they've been using for years. Don't let them continue to be successful with this trick. It should be easy for you to figure out that these people who call themselves white nationalists are actually Pied Pipers for the criminal Jews. For example, as I've described in other documents, the white nationalists defend the Apollo moon landing and will not tolerate any discussion about it. They don't have any interest in understanding the crimes the Jews have committed, and they don't encourage people to do any research. They stifle discussions. They try to control their members. They treat their members like animals. And the best clue of all that the white nationalists are actually working for the criminal Jews is their solution to the problem of criminal Jews. Adam Austin is an example. He spends an hour swearing and condemning Jews to an incredible extent. He follows the typical pattern of the Jewish agent or the political candidate. Specifically, he begins by saying what he assumes his audience wants to hear. He does this to gain their trust. And then, in the final minute of his hour-long angry monologue, he slips in the propaganda. For example, he explains his goal in 9 seconds. Here's that 9-second excerpt with his swearing garbled a bit.
All I want to do is get these Jews out of my country. That is my only goal. I want these gone, and I want them gone for good.
So, Adam Austin wants the Jews out of America. Is that your idea of a solution? What are we supposed to do with the Jews? Do we pack them into crates and then ship them to Britain or Japan? First of all, dumping your garbage into your neighbor's yard is not solving any problem. It's merely allowing the criminal Jews to get away with their crimes and start a new life in a new nation. Second, why would any nation want our criminals? Perhaps China would accept them if they were allowed to grind them up for chicken feed or use them as organ donors, but who would want them for any other purpose? Third, there are Jewish criminals all over Britain, Canada, and Australia. What if those nations want to get rid of their Jews? There are more appropriate responses to dealing with crime networks. For example, for the criminals who surrender and help us destroy their network, we could let them finish their lives somewhere, but not allow them to reproduce. And for the criminals who surrender, but who don't help us destroy their network, we could kill them in a painless manner, or we could sterilize them and put them to work to repay us for what we've done for them and all they've taken from us. And for the criminals who refuse to surrender, we could use them in experiments, and if they're in good health, we could use them as organ donors. Anyway, during that final 1 minute of Adam Austin's angry tirade about Jews, he makes some interesting remarks about shady people. However, his monologue is so unpleasant that instead of discussing him any further, I'll put some information about it in the page that has this audio file. I think a lot of the Jews realize that they've been exposed and they are preparing for the day when the police and military start investigating and arresting them. For example, the Jews are struggling to promote their agents as investigators of 9/11, the Holocaust, the World Wars, and other crimes, so that Jews can become involved in the decision of what to do with their crime network. And the Jews are also trying to minimize the damage by promoting such propaganda as only a few Jews are responsible for these crimes, and that the vast majority are innocent. You can determine that the so-called truth seekers are Zionist agents simply by noticing how they struggle to promote Jews as investigators, or they're struggling to minimize the damage. For example, look at Lorraine Day as she tries to reduce the anger towards Jews in this interview that she did in January 2009 with Susie of the Patriot Dames.
My point is, I'm not against the Jews. In fact, I have relatives. I have relatives who are Jewish. All right? I have a relative. I have a niece, a blood niece, who's married to a Jew, and her children are Jewish. All right?
Yes.
I have relatives who are Jewish. I am not against Jews. I am against the culture of the Talmud where they want to kill all Gentiles. I'm against what they do, not against them. It's just like, If a mother has a son who is a serial killer, all right, and he's going to be executed, that mother is standing outside the prison crying. She loves her son. She doesn't love what he did.
Right.
And that's the way it is. God can save anybody. Nobody is past the point of God being able to save them. They repent and turn around. So I don't hate the Jews.
Right.
I hate the way they behave. And if you know.
I suggest that we all follow Dr. Day's philosophy. When the military becomes so disgusted with the criminal Jews that they decide to use the Jews as target practice and as donors for kidneys, then we can respond that we love the military, but we don't love what they're doing. And if the military decides to rape and kill Dr. Day, then we can tell her that she has nothing to worry about because nobody is past the point of God being able to save them. Therefore, after the military is finished with Dr. Day, they can repent and turn around. Some of these Jewish agents are so incompetent that I can't believe they're going to fool anybody of importance. For example, on July 27, 2009, Daryl Smith and Noel Ryan once again tried to convince their audience that not all Jews are criminals.
Frankly, Noel, you know, we have seen in our own daily lives that there are people out there in the Jewish community that aren't bad.
Daryl, I know one Jewish guy in my neighbor. His mom was a Jew. He's a Jew. He's an American. The guy is absolutely no part of the criminal network. So I know one Jewish guy that I would protect if anyone ever came from. I would protect him. This guy is a good guy.
Yep.
Helped me out when I needed some help a long time ago. Never, not that they're all the stereo. I know one guy that I would vouch for.
I think Smith and Ryan are idiots. In many of their audio files, they remind us that they know one or two honest Jews. It would make more sense for them to tell us that they have met hundreds of Jews during their lives and only one or two were criminals. Instead, they tell us that they have met one or two honest Jews, which implies that 99.9% of the Jews that they met were questionable or dishonest. I'm amazed that the other Jews continue to support those two morons. If I was in their crime network, I would tell both of them to keep their mouths shut and get rid of their websites. However, I don't think their crime network has people like me. As I mentioned in my file about Mishko of the Voice of Reason radio network, their crime network is really a crime network. It's a group of freaks, not respectable people. In fact, Mishko is another person I think is doing more damage for the Jews. For example, on his radio show for September 11th, listen to what he says to the black Americans.
What really amazes me, it just boggles my mind, is that they truly think, and this is how clueless they are, and maybe that's because of lack of IQ, I don't know, that they think because they've got a half-black guy in the presidency that it's going to be all good for them. Trust me, for the black folks that might be listening, it's going to get worse for you. In a socialist society, if you are not helping or producing, they will dump you.
Later in the show, he says,
I mean, blacks are some of the most racist people on the planet.
How can the Jews support a man who refers to black people as clueless, lacking in IQ, racist, and neither helping or producing? Daryl Smith often complains that Alex Jones gets lots of money and support, but Alex Jones does a much better job of lying. You won't hear Jones saying that he met one honest Jew during his life. And you won't hear Jones insulting black Americans like that. Jones tells his audience that he loves all people of all races and religions. I'll include some excerpts on the page that has this audio file. Here's a sample.
I mean, but a racist wouldn't make a film like Endgame about how they're targeting black and Hispanic babies for abortion and infanticide and injecting black people with syphilis.
Jones is a much better con artist than Mishko, Smith, and Ryan. A short time after Ryan made that idiotic remark about knowing one honest Jew, he decided to give us some evidence that his Jewish friend is truly informed about Zionism.
He looks at rents every day, Darrell. He's looking at rents and Democracy Now for the last couple of years. So he's awake. He knows what's going on. He's heard my radio shows.
Yep.
We often talk about, he knows what Zionism is. This guy's not a Zionist.
Yep.
He might be Jewish, but he's not a Zionist. So
yep.
It's not all Jews and not all, all these idiot Christian Zionists, which is...
Well, don't you worry this, Noel. Don't you worry that if we were to say all of one group or all of these people are all... See, what we would end up is we would become as bad as the people we're trying to fight, you see.
I wouldn't consider a person to be informed about Zionism simply because he looks at the Rents and Democracy Now! Websites. Also, Smith's response is interesting. The Jews consider us to be an inferior species, so Smith points out that if we consider Jews to be an inferior species, then we would become as bad as the Jews. Smith wants us to behave better than the Jews. But this is just a trick. The Jews are always trying to convince us to love everybody and be nonviolent and treat other people the way we want to be treated. Meanwhile, the Jews arrange for wars, assassinations, economic chaos, kidnappings, forest fires, and all sorts of other disgusting crimes. This brings up the philosophical question, should we treat criminals in the same manner that we want to be treated? What about mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas? Should we treat those creatures in the same manner that we wish to be treated? Incidentally, the issue of how many Jews are innocent will become increasingly interesting as information about 9/11 and other crimes spread around the planet. In 2002, it was very easy for most Jews to say that they didn't know what the other Jews were doing. But it's almost 2010, and there are now hundreds of millions of people around the world who know what's going on. Furthermore, and even more important, in 2002, the Jews could claim that they were helping Zionism because they had been deceived into thinking that Zionism was just a friendly, happy movement to support Israel. And they could claim that they thought the Rothschilds were simply a wealthy family involved with banking. But today there are millions of us who know that Zionism is a disgusting group of freaks who are starting wars, kidnapping people, and committing all sorts of other crimes. Every day it becomes more difficult for the Jews to claim that they had no idea what the other Jews were doing. Therefore, if there is such a thing as an honest Jew, then as information about their crimes spread around the planet, occasionally we should see one of these honest Jews come forward and help to destroy their crime network. But have you seen any honest Jews that want to help us? It's possible that some Jews are secretly helping to destroy the network by providing information to the police or military, but I don't see any Jews helping. Actually, I see Jews who are becoming afraid to admit that they're Jews. They're showing signs of guilt, not innocence. For example, as I mentioned earlier, Jeff Gates was interviewed by Daryl Smith on September 3, 2009. Here's an excerpt that shows what Gates and the Jews are truly concerned about.
The Jews, my Jewish friends, this profile does not fit them, and what's being done in their name has got them absolutely outraged and scared to death.
Yep.
They're fearful this crowd's going to set off another program, and they will be perceived as guilty by association. Again, that's another reason for the title on this book,
mm-hmm.
because this is not all Jews any more than it's all Zionist Christians.
That's right.
Mormons. Okay.
Gates is trying to convince us that his Jewish friends are outraged at what the criminal Jews are doing, and they're frightened that they'll be considered guilty simply because they are also Jews. Gates wrote a book called Guilt by Association in order to convince us that we should not assume all Jews are guilty. But think about this seriously. If Jeff Gates and his Jewish friends are truly outraged by these crimes, and if they're truly worried about being treated as criminals, then why don't they do something to help us expose and stop this crime network? Why is Jeff Gates promoting Daryl Smith and Antiwar.com? And the American Free Press, and other liars? Jeff Gates is just another criminal, and he's so stupid that he's going to do the Jews more harm than good. For example, when he was speaking to Smith, he started to promote the official story that Arabs had attacked us on 9/11, and Smith had to interrupt him, and now Smith won't interview him again. Jeff Gates and his Jewish friends are not outraged about the crimes that the other Jews are committing, and they're not trying to help us expose 9/11. They are frightened that we are going to figure out that a phenomenal percentage of Jews are part of a gigantic international crime network. I think a lot of Jews realize that they can't possibly win this battle, and they realize that a lot of Jews are going to be arrested. And so some of them are arranging for Jews they don't like to be set up for arrest while others hide. I think this is why on September 11, 2009, Alex Jones and Bob Chapman made some very interesting comments about how the New World Order takes care of its criminal members.
And 3 months ago, you said that they would announce that Madoff had cancer, and now they've floated that out there. How did you know that was going to happen?
I had some information from other people, but I backed into it as well. The next thing is he'll have a heart attack, supposedly be taken out and buried, and probably end up at the hands of the plastic surgeon so he can go and live in Israel or Paraguay or wherever they're going to put him.
Well, Ken Lay, I mean, we know that was staged. That's even come out in foreign news.
That's right. And then we have the young man, Timothy McVeigh, who supposedly was executed. I have my doubts about that as well.
Well, local reporter said as he was breathing when they took him out.
Well, there you go. And I think that they take these people to other destinations and they live happily ever after.
Now, when you were working in black ops against the Soviets, I mean, I've read even 50 years ago, they took large portions of special forces and would even stage their deaths or change their names, give them plastic surgery, change their ears, their nose. That's declassified. So why wouldn't they do that with Madoff or Ken Lay? I mean, that's what they do in the witness protection program. They stage the deaths a lot.
That's right. And so I think that's the way this has gone. They take care of their own. That's the way they do it. If you step out of line, you know, you get assassinated.
I don't think Jones or Chapman have any evidence that Ken Lay or Timothy McVeigh are alive. It's likely that a crime network would stage the death of a few of their valuable agents, But the idea that it would go to such an extreme effort and expense for thousands of ordinary criminals is ridiculous. The ordinary criminals are just pawns in this game, and the game is ending. The Jews are losing. And I see I'm reaching the limit for an audio CD-ROM, so I'll say goodbye until the next time.